Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Back-to-back championships are bloody hard, and maybe that's a reason why Kerry struggled yesterday, is that trying to get themselves back up to that height again this year is going to be an ongoing challenge throughout 2026.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.
Okay, we are here at the IRFU High Performance Centre, where the Irish women's team have just regathered ahead of their Six Nations campaign, which will kick off against England in an almost sold-out Twickenham Stadium. Then we've got back row Brittany Hogan on moving over to Manchester to play in the PWR with Sale Sharks, bouncing back from injury and getting up close and personal with some of her opponents in the upcoming Women's Six Nations. Brittany, you're back on Irish soil, back home, back in camp. How does it feel to be back over?
Yeah, lovely. It feels a bit weird coming in the taxi with the girls there this morning instead of like driving from home. But no, it's so nice to be back in with the girls. Like, haven't seen them in a couple of months. Like, some of them are my best friends, so haven't seen them in a couple of months. So it's so nice to be back.
When did you arrive back in Ireland?
So I arrived last night.
Okay.
I think I was at home at like 7:30 or something like that. Had to have a big packing day yesterday after the game at the weekend. So arrived at 7:30, had some dinner and then waited for Niamh. Niamh was a little bit later on, but yeah, last night.
Mad, been a bit of a whirlwind, I can imagine.
Yeah, yeah, it's been the busiest 3 months. I've had. I've only just started to get settled, and then it's like, oh, you've got Six Nations now. So.
Yeah, you're back.
Yeah.
Talk to me about the move over to Manchester, Sale Sharks. I mean, you just said it's been a whirlwind of 3 months, but has it been a great 3 months as well?
Yeah, it's been fantastic. It is overreached what I thought it would be. I like the group of girls there and the coaching staff and the culture that they have set in place anyway. Never mind like the rugby on the pitch. It's just been it's just made my heart so full. So yeah, me and Tash moved over with our dog and our cat, and like it's
oh, wow.
Just
full package.
It's just been great. Like we've had a nice new rejuvenation, I suppose. Like, I've been here in these four walls since this building was created, so good 6 years, 8 years. So yeah, it's been a nice little refresh.
Yeah, mad. It was announced, I think, in November, at the end of November, that you were making the move. If you don't mind me asking, what I suppose spurred it?
So Charlie Beckett, the defence coach, he was kind of contacting me throughout the World Cup, and just kind of having general conversation, slipping in maybe free for a phone call if you are, but obviously no pressure because you know you've got games on the weekend. So I just rang him after the World Cup was finished, and he just told me that he was very interested and Sale Sharks were very interested in having me over. So I unfortunately had to get surgery on my knee after the World Cup, so that kind of hindered my immediate plans. But yeah, I just kind of, after he said that, I had a little bit of time to think and to chat to Gillian and Scott and see kind of what was best for me as a person. Like, as I said before, I've been in these walls for a long time, and I think I needed that kind of life. Like, I needed a life kind of something
change.
New.
Yeah.
Something new. And I think it was just my time to experience something. So the opportunity and the experience kind of matched up, and that was kind of the reason for me for wanting to go anyway.
Okay, so it was more about kind of a life change rather than necessarily the rugby maybe?
Yeah, 100%. And like we were thinking anyway as well, just because it's Sale Sharks is in Manchester, such a great city. Like where I live now, Altrincham, like it's a lovely spot, and like near all the National Trust places. Like I can walk my dog Bosco, like we can go into the city, it's only 20 minutes, and it's just like that kind of life side of it as well, because we were living so far out of Dublin, it was kind of hard to do that ourselves. So even being able to just walk for a coffee is huge. So I kind of was more so thinking on that aspect of things, but on the rugby side of things, the World Cup, kind of playing against teams that you never play against is kind of like really kind of spurred me on of I love this challenge of new faces and new like skill sets and new kind of things to adapt my game for. So that kind of was what drove the rugby side as well.
Yeah, coming from the Celtic Challenge then and then into the PWR, have you noticed kind of a massive shift in standard?
I'd say like the standard wise anyway, like playing with the girls week in, week out, like, I would never have changed. I think that, like, that has been probably the pillar of how we've accelerated so fast as a squad, like, knowing each other inside and out, knowing exactly what you're going to do in, like, this tackle, what kind of way you're going to pass a ball. Like, yeah. I think that that was, like, the most important thing for how well we've done. On the PWR side of it anyway, like, the difference in the competitions, I think it's literally just, like, the player pool that you have. So, like, the every PWR club has a multitude of internationals. So yeah. It's, like, Canadian players, it's USA players, it's New Zealand players, it's, like, never mind the four aisles of us, it's, like, everyone. So I think that kind of drove, that's what drives the standards, whereas the Celtic Challenge is, like, your homegrown people. So, yeah, you're playing with, like, some internationals aren't getting picked for a club side in the PWR, so I think that just kind of says
it where, all.
Yeah.
That's mad. What's it been like to get used to playing with people of all different nationalities, types of rugby style, compared to, I suppose, here it's mostly Irish people you would have been surrounded with?
Yeah, really weird. And, like, especially, say, for example, we're playing England in 2 weeks, and playing with Holly, Moena and Amy, it's like I've never had to review my teammates before. So yeah, that kind of side of things is so different to me anyway. I've never experienced it, and yeah, it's like playing with them, they bring such different, because they play a different game style than we play. Like, every team is different, we have a different DNA than they do, so it's kind of like them bringing that into their training and their lineouts or their scrum plays or their launches, and like even their soft skills is different to what we would do. So like yeah, and like we have Scottish and Wales and USA players, so it's like all those like cultures and DNA, like rugby DNA is coming all together. Yeah, it's very different.
Yeah. Do you feel like it gives you a little bit of insider knowledge now going into this England game?
Yeah, I hope so, but it also gives them some insider
<That's>
knowledge.
True.
It definitely would, especially like Moena being in like the lineups and Amy throwing them and stuff, like, because I'm a forward, I do those reviews, so kind of knowing their triggers a little bit better will hopefully be able to spread that knowledge within the squad. But I would say it goes the other way around as well, so hindrance or help, I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. You yourself then, I know it's only been 3 months, but have you felt a step up in your own game kind of being in that environment?
Yeah, like I was saying before there, it's the main difference that I feel like club rugby over there has been is like it provides the same like reaction time to things as international games, so you have such a smaller window whenever you catch the ball to whenever the defense is there, you've such a smaller window to make a tackle, you've got your reaction time to a call that your tenant's giving you, you have to react a lot quicker than club rugby that I've experienced before anyway. So I suppose that kind of has challenged me in that aspect of always having to be switched on, and driving that aspect of it. And with the PWR and especially with Sharks where we are at the moment, it's like our games have come to quite close games, so that game management of the last 10 minutes of games is something that I'm really, really learning as well. And like thankfully except for last weekend, we had 5 wins in a row.
Yeah.
And like we just really narrowly lost to Bristol away, and we like took so many learnings from that last 10 minutes because we didn't manage it correctly, and then the next 5 games we did. So those kind of learnings that I've brought from that kind of I've never been exposed to before, I'd say.
Yeah. If you don't mind me asking, was there any people in maybe the IRFU or your teammates or coaches trying to keep you in Ireland, or were they very supportive of the decision?
They were very supportive. Which I really, really appreciate, and I'm so grateful for. Like, I knew I was so nervous to speak to them. Like, I knew that this was such a big step, and like leaving the country, leaving the program is huge, especially as one of the more senior players, and you kind of don't want to feel like you're leaving young ones behind or like your other senior players behind with like more things to do or like more I suppose conversations to have. Like, I'm like head of social, so it was kind of
okay.
Like, even on that side, it's like leaving them to do that. I had so many things to think about, but like I was speaking to Gillian and Scott, and like it really was that life side of it. I was just getting too used to like I couldn't really do anything outside of rugby with where I lived in Dublin, and that was the important thing for me, was to get that refresh, and they were so understanding about it, and they really kind of supported me into it. So that was great, and I'll forever be thankful for that. And the girls were sad to see me go. I've been part of the furniture in this building, so but it's so nice to have your welcomes back, and you're not gone for too long. Sure, I was gone, and then we had the calibration camp a week later, so
barely stepped foot off our soil.
I had that, but we'll see what happens in the future, and what changes happen over here in Ireland, and you never know, like a lot of us or people might come back over and play in a newly refurbished Celtic League or whatever happens. We don't know what the plans are for the future, so
absolutely. Last thing on sale, I promise. Vicky Irwin's obviously over there as well. What's it been like reuniting with her? I mean, I think you played together way back in Ballynahinch, right?
What's
it been like having her there?
It's been great. So she moved over there after university, so we played, so me and Vicky, I started playing whenever I was 15. Vicky's a year above me. I think I met her within 6 months of that, of me starting playing. And I'm 27 now, so I've known her a long time. After she finished her university course, she went over to Manchester. She's been there for the past like 5-6 years.
Okay.
So I hadn't seen her in that window. So it's been so nice to reunite with her and have that kind of connection from home, and connection from like the start of my rugby career, which I had so much happiness at the start of my rugby career, like playing with Ballynahinch, playing with Cook, playing like the AIL, like playing with Ulster, we had the crack, like, so it's been nice to rekindle, and to see her in a different block. She's a teacher now, so see her in a different block of life is nice. So it's been lovely,
full circle in a way, I can imagine. Are you doing anything as well as the rugby, or just focus on the rugby for now?
I'm actually coaching, so the Sail Sharks have like a university feeder team, it's called MMU, Manchester Metropolitan University, and I coach there on a Monday and a Wednesday.
Cool.
So me and another player on the Sharks team, we do that, so it keeps me busy, and it's still rugby, but it's a brand new circle, a brand new part of life that I'll hopefully start getting a new identity on that side.
Are you enjoying the coaching? Had you done much of that before?
So I have got my two coaching badges anyway. Rugby coaching is something that I do enjoy. It's really nice to kind of see that side of the game. It's a completely different game to actually playing. So I like the challenge. The girls are university age, so they're at that age of they're a different age than I am. So that's a challenge, and I like that. So I see a couple of them at the Sail Sharks training club then. So it's good, and it's good to get out doing something else.
Yeah, I can imagine. You mentioned your knee injury.
Yeah.
Obviously that was pretty heartbreaking, like just on the 60th minute of that quarterfinal. It must have been difficult going over to Sail, having not played rugby in maybe what, 3-4 months?
Yeah.
What was the kind of recovery process for your knee like, and was it scary going over there having not played?
Yeah, like I finished my return with Sail, so I had no rugby in me before.
Wow.
I went over, and over the Christmas break I was trying to get into a couple of sessions here, but the girls were off for their well-earned, like they had 2 weeks off, which was well-earned. The Celtic Challenges, it was like they had what, 5-6 games before that, so there wasn't very much rugby for me to do here before I left, and that was scary, kind of trying to show myself as a player, but I wasn't really fully back as a player, like I hadn't lifted in a line out or tackled or anything, so doing that return but also trying to establish myself and try and get that respect from my teammates, it was hard to balance, because obviously like not touching a rugby ball, well I did touch a rugby ball, but like not not training in 4 months, like it takes a couple of weeks to get back into it, so yeah, it was kind of tough to manage, but the training was so intense that you kind of really forgot about it, to be honest. And they were great with my return, and like I was in a good place before I went over, so my knee was in a good place, so I was happy enough to start, just to get straight into it.
It must have been really hard. Like, I can imagine the come down of the World Cup would have been really difficult anyway, but having an injury too and maybe being a bit isolated doing your rehab, was that really difficult?
Yeah, like I had to get surgery within a week of coming home, so and obviously like I wasn't very mobile before getting that, so the 5 weeks off that the girls had of being able to go and travel and go and do your holidays and kind of sit with your feelings and your thoughts about the World Cup, kind of speak to each other, speak to your family about what happened. I was back in the HPC, so it was very difficult that kind of way of like being in the gym where I was 3 weeks ago, hopefully preparing for a World Cup semi-final, and then being back into it, trying to rehab my knee. It was a hard transition, but there was a good group of about 5 or 6 of us there, so we just kind of supported each other and tried to get through it as best we could. And Mark Beggs, he was like our new physio, he was great as well. So yeah, it was very tough, and like it was not very like a good moment of mine. Like we didn't qualify for the last World Cup, so I've been working for that World Cup, me and probably a group of like 8 or 9 of us have been working for that World Cup for 7-8 years. So yeah, it was a tough transition, but getting back into rugby and over in Manchester has thankfully kind of refreshed my mind, I suppose, and I'm fully ready to get back into it now.
Yeah, now with like, what has it been, 6-7 months since that quarterfinal, how do you look back on it now with a bit of time and space to reflect?
Yeah, it's tough. It's like we were so close to our goal, we were so close to achieving our goal, and we knew it was so attainable as well. Like we could have won that quarterfinal, and that kind of heartbreak of it, but I try not to let that taint the whole experience. Like those last couple of days, I try not to let that taint the like how incredible the World Cup was, and getting there and being able to play there myself, and the team that was there. Like we all deserve to be there, and we made sure that we stamped our green wave on that World Cup. And yeah, it'll hopefully set to us, and whenever we play France in a few weeks, hopefully they know a vendetta is coming towards them. They know that a hard Irish team is going to come and try and rewrite those wrongs that happened in the quarterfinals. So yeah, I'm fully looking forward to the challenge ahead now, but yeah, thinking back on that game anyway in particular, it's still a soft spot.
Is that one earmarked then? Like big red circle around the France game?
every game Twickenham is our first game against England, hopefully be a sellout, but that France game, we are all ready to go, ready to rock,
I can imagine. Just on the World Cup as well, obviously before the New Zealand game, that piece came out with the BBC,
yeah,
where you were amazing and being really open about kind of your childhood and what you went through. If I may ask, why did you decide to kind of do that piece then and kind of come out to the public with it?
Yeah, so we were actually approached a few months prior to that. I think it was Aoife Clark had said that there's a media company, that a production team that wanted to do a piece on a few individuals, and you could put your hand up towards it. And okay, I said like a few individuals, their story, or just a little bit about them, their background. So I was just like, do you know what? Like I'm happy to show a little bit about me in the background. And yeah, it was actually filmed I think it was 2 months before the World Cup, and then it came out on the, I think it was England's game that they came out, England's Samoa or something, or
yeah, England around someone. Then anyway,
and yeah, it just happened to be that like I didn't know it was going to be coming on, and then I got messages from my friends being like, oh, I saw your piece. So I was like, oh, brilliant. But yeah, I did some work with Childline a couple of years ago, and yeah, I just always knew that was something that I wanted to do, and like it's an experience that has shaped me, but not shaped me in a bad way. So I kind of like using that platform, and there was a couple of people in the game then the following week that I played, that came up to me and said that they had listened to it or they had read it, and like, it was incredible, and incredible for them to see, for their children, for them to see for themselves. And like, there was a guy that came up to me that really struck me as well. He came up to me and said that, like, what you're doing for our community. So I knew that he had gone through something similar, and what you're doing for our community, like, that you never underestimate how, like, amazing that is. And like, I don't often try to talk about myself in a positive, like a big positive manner, but it was just something I'm so proud of, and so proud of myself for getting over. And yeah, I would probably see myself in the future getting involved in something to do with child sexual abuse and that kind of thing, because like, it's, if you're treated in the right way, you can achieve great things. Like, it doesn't change who you are, and it doesn't change the trajectory that you can become. So I think it was, I didn't know it was coming out, but it was a great time for it to come out. Yeah. And I'm so happy it did.
You've given me goosebumps. It must have been amazing though, being at a World Cup and just looking at the piece and knowing how much you overcame, and kind of look at where you are now, and all the positive kind of feedback as well. I felt like the comments were flooded. There was, you know, everyone was just so amazed by it.
Yeah, it was nice now, and it just kind of made the experience a little bit better. Like, I know that it's like, you never know what everybody who you walk across the street from is going through. You never know what kind of day they're having. You never know who, if someone's smiling, is that a smile, or are you just like, are you like, what are you doing? Do you know, what are you trying to overcome, or what is your day? And I just, like, a lot of people actually said to me, like, I never even knew, I wouldn't have even noticed that you were going through something like that. Like, I had a couple of experiences in my teenage years as well, because of I suppose whenever I was a child, I learnt like survival instincts and survival tactics that didn't really serve well to me in my teens. But like, going through that from the age of 20 to, I think I had 3 years of just like hardcore weekly counselling, and it was very hard, but going through that and then finally like dealing with everything and coming over those behaviours and learning who myself is. But for those 3 years doing that weekly, like, my teammates had no idea. And I think that kind of just says that, like, look where I am now, and I'm so proud of how I've been able to come where I am. And like, I could have completely went the opposite way, and like, not got a degree, not came out of school, not started rugby, not achieved where I am in rugby today. But I just decided that wasn't where I wanted to be, and I wanted to live my life happy as I could be. So I think it's like, whenever people say I wouldn't have even noticed, I take that as good job, Brittany. It's something that I'm very proud of to overcome, but like, people have no idea how hard it is to do so. So
yeah, no, it's really incredible. I'm gonna pivot away again because I don't want to keep you for too long.
Okay.
Oh my god, 22 minutes, I'm sorry. I'll make this the last one. Obviously, when you're in the World Cup, you, Aoife Wafer wasn't around, so you were playing in it, and you really took a lot of that kind of ball carrying responsibility. And I was looking at your carries, like, the charts were kind of ridiculous across the three games. And I know she obviously came back for the quarterfinal, but now going into a Six Nations where she will be back and you'll be playing together in that back row, does it change up kind of your game at all in comparison to what we saw in the World Cup, or will you continue both being kind of huge ball carriers?
Yeah, I suppose that, like, we all are aware of Wafer's super strength, and we all know that she is an exceptional rugby player. And like, to see the way that she carries, like, if I have to latch Wafer to get an extra 10 metres on the carry, no problem. Do you know that kind of way? I suppose that my role would kind of will kind of change now that hopefully we'll be playing again together. And it just kind of changes where I fit in or what I do. But I'll still try my best to, like, if I have to carry the ball, like, I'll try and carry it as hard as I can. And yeah, it, I think that we complement each other very well in like attack, like my more rocking style, whereas Wafer's more of a ball carrier, I suppose, and like she's excellent at it. So we complement each other very well in that that side of things. And then like in defence, I would prefer to tackle, whereas Wafer is very good at the jackaling. So we complement each other very well in that sense, and I can't wait to be playing with her again. And hopefully in the next couple of weeks I will be. And like with the reintroduction of Erin coming back in as well, like that just adds another flavour of our back row. And like Fiona playing in the back row now, and Dorothy getting in the back row there, so there's plenty of people there to be playing around, and like our young blood coming through. So we never know what the back row is going to be. It's a very, very competitive position, but if I'm lucky enough to get played with Wafer again, we'll see. You'll probably see a little bit of a difference in the game to me, whereas in the World Cup I was in that more carrying role. But as long as it gets Ireland success, I don't really care what it is.
Yeah, I mean, you did it superbly. Was there ever any slight annoyance of like, I think the media, maybe we were all really focused on when Aoife Wafer was going to be back, and that was kind of the question every week. But that maybe you were doing a really good job in her absence. Did you ever feel like you weren't quite getting the credit, or?
I suppose that like kind of, I'm kind of used to that kind of work in the background. I don't really do, like, for example, me saying about my attack and more rucking style, like you wouldn't really notice someone who hits 25 rucks in a game. So that kind of sense in things is like, I wasn't maybe getting like the questions were being asked about when Wafer was coming back, and we were asking them as well, when is Wafer coming back? But I suppose that like in camp I was getting enough of that kind of positivity from my teammates and from my coaches, so that kind of, I wasn't really kind of taking that in a bad sense of when is she coming back, Brittany isn't doing a good job. I wasn't really taking it in that kind of way. I am used to playing number eight, so like I was happy to get back into it. But I kind of took more of the internal voices on the lead in that, and was very thankful whenever Wafer got back onto the pitch.
Amazing. Last question then, I promise. England is obviously up first. Over 70,000 tickets sold, which is just insane. I can't wait. Do you feel like it's going to be different going into this year?
Yeah, definitely. And like the last time that we played in Twickenham, it's going to be different. So it's like we were very like, as I said before, we're a very young squad. We haven't really experienced very many experiences a couple of years ago, whereas now we've got those big crowds, we've got those high intense games, we've got those must win games under our belt. So those game management in the last 10 minutes under our belt, so hopefully now that we can take those learnings straight into these games and put them into the games. But like the crowd, like you're never going to get used to it, like whenever we were there 2 years ago, whereas now it's going to be a sellout. So well, it's aiming to be a sellout, and you're never going to get used to that feeling. And it's going to be brilliant, and I really, really hope that we rise to the occasion, which I have all the confidence in the girls that we will. So it's going to be a great game, and everyone please tune in and watch it and support the girls in green. So looking forward to it.
Is there a belief you can beat them, world champions and all?
100%. We always have a belief that no matter that, like if we show up on the day, we can beat whoever we want. And we're slowly building in the background. We're getting ready to hit the ground running on the pitch tomorrow. So the belief is there, and it's an exciting time for our young squad. We'll see where we have that conversation in a couple of weeks. But at the moment, we can fully have ourselves and fully back ourselves.
Amazing. Thank you so much, and good luck.
Thank you so much.
Rugby on Off the Ball.
With Bank of Ireland, a proud sponsor of Connacht, Leinster, Munster, and Ulster Rugby. Never stop competing.